What's going on, everybody? Welcome to episode 738 of Flow Wrestling Radio Live. I'm your host, Christian Piles, joined today, back from Brookings, James Dean Rader, who's at South Dakota State, with a former AWA, always AWA member, Parker Keckhuizen, and probably others. I don't know. You send half your crew to...
Dejan was there.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. You send a lot to the Panther train. Mm-hmm. That's okay.
Parker did well, bumped up, even for the team.
Yeah.
Still got the pin.
They did it for the team.
We've got Ben Funky Askren here. He was coaching at a youth tournament this weekend. You love it, don't you?
I've came to accept the youth tournament scene and how the parents are going to act. It really is. You know what's so funny is like lots of these high schools, they don't have big enough gyms for everybody. So they'll have two. And like the 7th and 8th graders essentially will be in one gym. And then the youngers are in the other gym. And just the difference between the two gyms. Like the 7th, 8th grade is nice and calm. Just the coaches are coaching. Parents aren't losing their damn mind. You go to the other gym, it's like all hell is breaking loose in there.
Chaos. Yeah.
Chaos.
It's so funny because Mike went to preseason nationals, I think, in Iowa. Mm-hmm. And he was like, you know what? He's like, parents, I think are starting to cut. They're doing a little better. We're making a little progress. Parents aren't quite as crazy. And then at Houston Nationals, he was at Houston Nationals this weekend. Houston Nationals. And he's like, I take back everything I said. He's like, parents aren't better. He's like, it's terrible. He's like, these people are crazy. Well, I think probably the tougher the tournament, you know, preseason nationals is a pretty tough tournament. You get people that probably understand what the sport is a little better. I think there are still some probably nuts parents there, but that point. Now, Tulsa Nationals is this week. So, parents, be on your best behavior. Let the kids have fun in this very, very competitive. Are you going, Ben?
Hell no. I don't go to that.
Oh, gosh. Okay. Well, you can't enter, but, you know.
No, I had a funny one. No, I think you're right about the skill level, though, Christian. That does make sense. And I bet you see some wild stuff. Also, any tournament that just adds a Nationals at the end of it for no good reason, that's bound to be some crazy parents extra. That's like another 20%. For sure.
I'm going to host Pflugerville Nationals.
That would draw some crazies.
That would draw some people. Because anyone in the nation is invited. I could make it a world tournament, world level. Open it up to international competition.
But then you can't call them all Americans.
I can't call them all Americans, which is really what this is all about.
All worldians.
Yes. So, man, this was such a fun weekend of wrestling.
Yeah.
There were so many duels. I don't know how many duels I watched. I don't even want to admit it.
Where did you go?
It was great. I missed some. There's so many great duels. I missed NC State Princeton, so I've been playing catch up on that one. I think the story of the weekend is just basically every team has put all their chips in the middle of the table at this point, right? We saw Tom Brands had the pump fake with Drake. He said it'll be Ibarra, and then boom, threw out Drake.
We knew that was coming.
Well, we did, but he didn't say it.
He didn't fool us.
He didn't fool us, Chris. We're untrickable, Tom. Even though I was tricked, and I thought
Drake would get pulled, but I was like, okay, well, it's not this weekend.
You guys, hold on. Time. You guys, we knew Drake. We had it in the lines. We bet on two Drake Isle matches this weekend. We knew
but
that
then
was
after
happening.
We did that, after. Then the probables came out with Ibarra.
Yeah. So that was post.
We knew it.
Listen, I didn't know. When people say something, I just say, okay, that's what's happening. I'm a naive,
gullible
person.
I'm saying Ibarra's going when you know Drake is going.
I don't know.
Hey, seriously. And then, the other one, obviously, I would love to ask questions. Kemmerer's back. Why was Nelson ever at 174? Unless he can't beat Abe Assad anymore, I don't understand it.
Well, I think with Nelson, here's a possibility. One, it was unknown if and when Kemmerer would be back, and so if that was a question, then you want someone there wrestling matches. One, he makes your lineup better. Two, if he's going to be your guy in March, then you want him having had that experience. Two, maybe things turned around with Abe, and Abe was getting the better of Nelson.
That's the most reasonable thing right there.
Yeah. So I don't know. I don't know why. But Kimmer being back, that was one of the cooler moments, because I didn't know if we'd see him. He was in the lineup, listed as a probable one of them. But when Who Let the Dogs Out came on, it was freaking awesome, man. Because it was cool because you're listening to Gibbons is talking about Marinelli and his win. He's kind of recapping, and then you just hear Who Let the Dogs Out, and then Carver goes nuts. It's like, oh man, that's like freaking a classic college wrestling moment. And you know, he looked fine against O'Reilly. You weren't like, oh yeah, Kimmer's back all the way. But then he texts Ninehouse, who on that very same day where he wrestled O'Reilly, beat Mikey Labriola. So yeah, that's weird, but also
Ninehouse did look tough until he got on bottom.
Yeah.
He also did lose to Manny Rojas 2 weeks ago, though.
Well, and he's lost to others as well in the past couple weeks.
Garrett Ninehouse is a mystery to us. But it was not like his win over Labriola, while I wouldn't predict it again, it wasn't a fluky win. Like, you know, it wasn't a Del Garbino Cassiope situation. It was like,
oh, don't be putting my guy Del Garbino down.
I'm not putting him down. I'm raising Cassiope up and saying, you're better than this, Tony. But it was like he kind of out-scrambled Labriola on, I think, two different takedowns and got the win there. Where Purdue beat Nebraska, we're really jumping around. I had a whole plan.
There was a lot of stuff going on Friday night, Christian.
We got to jump around a little bit. Think about 25 and just all the things that happened there. You got Drake Ayala.
Northwestern, DeAugustino, baby.
I'm never going to get anywhere with this guy. Yeah, that's part of it too. So Ayala's back. He loses to McKee, but then he beats Schroeder. And then DeAugustino, who we hadn't seen all year, he comes out and beats Barnett. Great win. And then he beats Pat McKee on Sunday. And that match was insane. McKee was up 6-2 with riding time in the third period. Did you watch this match, Ben?
McKee and
DeAugustino.
No, I mean, I saw the turn. Northwestern posted that.
So before that, it was 6-2, and they were over-under. And McKee tried something. I don't know what he was trying, but he put himself on his back from over-under.
That's what McKee likes to do.
Well, he doesn't like to, but it happens sometimes.
No. It's happened a significant amount of times.
Yeah, so I don't think he likes it. It just happened. And so then it was 6-6, and you're like, okay, it's 6-6. You get out, you win. Then he got turned, and DeAugustino does a weird, you know how, like, see, he comes really high in the chest with his, like, normally you think a half and a deep waist, but he comes, like, he locks around, like, really high above the chest and gets the turn, and then he beats McKee. So 125 was pretty wild this whole, and then Ayala this weekend is going to have Cardani and the best beard in the Big Ten, Michael DeAugustino. So another more tests coming for Ayala.
You know, one of the things we talked about last year is how much parity there was at 125 and kind of everyone was beating everyone. But last year, I think we maybe thought a little bit more highly of these guys, like that they were high All-American potential. And now I think, you know, a lot of these guys, you know, they're a couple steps below Vito and Soriano and Glory. But there's still a crap ton of parity. I mean, between – you threw them in a bag. You're going to get all McKee, Ayala, Barnett, DeAugustino, a bunch of these dudes. You're getting all kinds of different results all the time.
Yeah, it will be. It's going to be up in the air for sure. So 25 was very fun this weekend. Glad. I mean, Drake is as sad as it is that Spencer's out for the year. That's big time bad. But Drake is going to be fun. I mean, he's going to inject a lot of energy into this because he's going to be in a lot of matches. You don't know how they're going to go. He's going to make some mistakes. He's making mistakes in matches, but he freaking wrestles really hard. He's got a shot because he can go with basically everyone on his feet. And so he's going to add a lot of excitement for Iowa fans into the lineup. You think about, let's just talk about it. How does he match up against Drew Hildebrandt? I have no idea. Hildebrandt pinned the Maryland guy. And then he had a pretty close match against Moran of Indiana, who hasn't been having a great year. So you think, okay, that's probably going to be a really competitive match. Ayala should have, if he has an advantage, it'll be on his feet. Hildebrandt's really good on the mat. So it'll be a really good test. Now, the beauty of what Ayala was able to do Sunday was he was able to dominate enough from neutral. He didn't have to go under Schroeder. And it would have been interesting. And if they wrestle again and the match materializes similarly, does Schroeder say, screw bottom, I'm going top, and let's see if this true freshman can get away? I think that would be advisable.
I don't know. I really don't know why you wouldn't do that at this point in time. I also watched the McKee and Hild, DeAgostino. I have no idea what move he was trying, Christian.
What was he trying to do? What was the plan?
I was thinking maybe he was trying to, like, high crotch or I don't know. It's like he kind of, like, sits down-ish. It definitely wasn't a lat drop.
No. I don't know what he was trying
really
to do.
Strange. Oh, they're playing slow motion.
I love Pat McKee. You slow it down, speed it up, reverse it.
Maybe an arm spin and he couldn't get his arm through or something?
That's one of the key parts of all arm spins is your arm. So
that's super weird. I don't know what he's trying to do.
Tough weekend really. For DJ Washington. I think he had pause on Friday and then he had Brooks. He took down Brooks and then Brooks ran wild on him for the remainder of the match. Thought he looked really good. Poznanski's been really good this year. He had two pretty tough matches, I'm pretty sure, this weekend. Won them both. He beat DJ.
Well, he beat Weiler 12-5. Sunday. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Hey, I'll tell you what. Listen, no predictions. I'm done with predictions on this topic. But Braxton Amos looked pretty good against Balsek the second time around. He was in position to tie it / win it late in the match. It was.
Do you still have him going to the national finals?
in Greco, yes, I do.
Okay.
Deal. But he is getting better. He is getting better. Listen, and I was far.
No one's even arguing with you. You're arguing with yourself right now.
Listen. The start of the season for Braxton was quite surprising, and I think it's worth noting that. Okay, he seems to be rounding back into form. One,
but yeah, you're referencing one match because that Northwestern dude, he's really, really bad.
I am referencing one match. Yes.
Yeah. So I mean, because his last match prior to those two was an overtime win over a D3 guy 10 days prior.
Well, all I'm saying, I didn't make any predictions. I didn't say anything. I just said that was a good result. And also, Dean, sure. Dean Hamidi, DJ. Are we going Dean or DJ? DJ is.
I don't know.
I don't know. We'll just use it interchangeably, like Donnell and DJ Washington, Dean and DJ.
They're both great.
Both great. He continues to look really good. Ben doesn't want to heap any compliments upon Wisconsin wrestlers, especially now that Evan Wick's gone. I'm sorry, Ben. Sorry to bring this up, but I think those guys are pretty good.
No, I told you on Friday night I liked. I like watching DJ Hamidi. He does a lot of things. I mean, my honest opinion right now is that he does. There are a few gaps there that are going to hurt him against the very best guys, but I guess we'll see if I'm proven wrong.
Ed Scott takes out Quincy Monday. Did you watch this match, Ben?
No.
Daggone it.
I thought we were talking about. I thought we were talking about the Iowa Minnesota duel because I watched that along with some other Big Ten matches on my computer.
You know what the Iowa Minnesota duel was? I mean. The big things were Drake, Kimmer, and then a lot of really close matches that you didn't think should be close.
I think that's the story.
I think that is the story. And so the Iowa spin, the Iowa fan spin is Minnesota wasn't trying to win. They were just trying to block off and keep it close.
Oh, for God's sakes.
There's some evidence that that could be part of the case. But I look, they were not able to generate points. I mean, Bull gives up the first takedown. I think it was a counter takedown.
That guy's tricky, though.
He's tricky. I think.
Shout out Kyle Carlson.
Shout out.
He's the only one that.
Kyle Carlson's kind of tricky. Really is.
He is good. He is good. And I think he won against Northwestern as well. So he did pretty good.
It'll be interesting to see if he's a starter moving forward. Sparks.
Is Sparks hurt? I thought
he got hurt at scuffle.
He might be super hurt, though.
He might be. It did not look good. So I don't know. But he did beat Carlson early in the year.
Okay.
And then, okay, so Marinelli had a close one, 6-5. And then the 97-pounder, I mean, he was able to keep it. It was a match. I mean,
well, listen,
for a while you didn't think it was going to be a match. And then by the end of the match, you're like, damn, like this is super competitive.
We all picked Warner to cover 4.5.
Well, and he sort of, listen, it was 5-2 in the third. It was set up for him to do it. It's like, all right, build your lead. But instead, Foy shoots in a low double, finishes. And then right at the very end, he gets it. He goes double to single. He ran out of time, but he was in on a shot. Yeah. I was surprised Warner. I mean, listen, Foy, we talked about Foy earlier this year that he's a guy that could be interesting this season. But
yeah, he's having some decent success, but nothing great.
You expect Warren to kind of pour it on there at the end, and he didn't seem to pursue it, building the lead. It was Foy in pursuit of running him down. DeSanto,
winning by 2 points. I mean,
was up with that. I think he must have been dealing with something because he didn't wrestle on Sunday. DeSanto basically never sits unless he's like suspended or something.
I mean, him winning by 2 points. Okay, so I guess he beat the Iowa State guy by 2 points. But I think if you look at years prior, that almost never, ever, ever happens. You know, it's got to be someone who's really high level. Mm-hmm. Otherwise, he's blowing them out.
Yeah. So I don't know what to make of that. I think him not wrestling on Sunday is sort of telling, though, that it could be something else going on. I don't know that, obviously. Jaden over Berglund.
Jaden continues to have close matches.
I was the only one that picked Ironman to cover 9.5. Just missed.
9.5. Oh, man.
He's not been scoring. This is his I was looking at his previous seasons on a percentage basis, one of his lowest bonus point scoring seasons he's had.
Oh, yeah, for sure.
And he has not hit, you know, a who's who for Big Ten wrestling at this point.
I mean, the highest ranked guy he's got here on WrestleStat is Simon at 15. There's no one above that.
Right, and he very nearly lost that match. Sort of. Yeah. He kind of, it was really just sort of one exchange, and then he kind of dominated. And Dresden Simon tricked the ref. That was not cool.
Smart guy. That's what you gotta do sometimes.
It was genius, actually. But kind of oldest trick in the book, too, Dresden. We've seen it before, but if it works, go with it. So, yeah, I guess maybe that is notable. It was a close win it was a lot of close wins.
Yes. That's something. I don't know, at least looking at this duel, I didn't see that one coming. I thought there'd be a lot more space in a lot of those matches. So I think that's it. I think it's maybe not something to hang your hat on, but something to pay attention to as they're going into these other Big Ten duels. So this weekend's not going to be that hard because they got Northwestern and Illinois. But then after that, it's Ohio State, then Penn State. Wisconsin's probably better than Minnesota and Purdue, maybe. About comparable. There'll be some tough matches for him there.
Yes. So we also had Brayton Lee running down Caleb Young late. It was Young leading, and Brayton got the late takedown. That was a fun match right to the very end. Murin wins late against Blockus, got that late takedown to avoid. I think they were tied, and he got the takedown as basically time expired to win. So not a lot of points for Iowa, not a lot of separation, but they were clearly the better team by a lot.
Mm-hmm. I'd say their son
takedown.
Oh yeah, I thought Gable was going to cover when he got that near fall in the second period, and then just that's a big gap to cover.
He had that cradle, and I thought he might be able to use it, but he couldn't take him through.
He got two,
but two near fall.
Hmm.
Okay.
Yeah, he got two backers on that one, but he didn't get four. Yeah,
you're once
he got
the backers on it, is that a Wisconsin?
Got two backers.
Backers. Count them out, ref. Oh, he broke 45 there.
I thought he was gonna cover for sure when he got the back points. But hey, listen, if you can't get near fall, 10.5 points is a big spread because that means you need like 10 takedowns.
Yeah, so which is why point. I took. This is why I thought Cassiope would cover.
Mm-hmm.
JD totally blew it.
We got it done.
He wasn't even close. Okay. So Penn State, they didn't quite face the rigor that other teams did. They had Maryland and Indiana. Some takeaways there. Oh, wait. The Penn State thing is, forget the transfer portal. They're just getting assistant coaches and putting them in the lineup.
How'd you miss this one?
That's a new one. Listen. for all the triumphs of Cale's recruiting, getting a man that's got a full-time job and salary that's coaching and plucking him and getting him in your lineup on your team.
For one semester.
For a semester. That's a move. I have not seen that. I haven't heard of that ever. I didn't know it was even like a thing you could do, but apparently it is.
A thing you could do. Yeah. Who saw that one coming? I think the correct answer is absolutely freaking no one. And at this point, it feels like they don't really need it, but I guess why not get some free points? And for Brady Berge, though, man, if your issue is concussions, I don't know. I guess I don't know how I'd feel at age 22 if I could have one more shot, but there was the downside of the concussion issue. I don't know how I would feel about it, but it feels like, as an outsider, don't know him, what are you doing, dude? Just keep coaching. Have a great life.
I don't know.
Just getting himself one of these.
Getting a ring. I don't know. I mean, he's probably wrestling every day in practice. So what's the difference?
Okay. If that's true, I don't know him. I don't know the circumstances. If that's true, if he's getting in there hard every day, then yeah, I don't see the issue at all. But I thought, I mean, correct me if I'm wrong, but didn't he retire because of concussions?
Yes.
So what? I don't know if he retired because of concussions. Why the hell would you be wrestling every day?
Gomez is back. He's killing it. Maybe it's, I don't know. I'm sure it's done with the consultation of medical professionals. You'd have to assume.
Okay. I hope so.
I hope so too. And him coming back, that makes me think he's probably going 65. Because.
Who, Berge?
Mm-hmm.
Well, they need. They could have someone either one of those weights.
They could. They could use. I think, you know, 57 is probably. I don't know which weight's a bigger.
57 weight is probably weaker. I think it's weaker at the national level. Scoring points is going to be easier.
Mm-hmm. But I think cutting weight doesn't make sense if you have concussion problems.
It does not. Well,
It does create an interesting circumstance where he could wrestle Tanner Cook at the NCAA tournament. Should he start and qualify? And that would be a really weird thing to coach someone and then compete against them in the NCAA tournament.
That would be bizarre.
That's a first.
It's got to be, right?
Has to be a first. other Penn State stuff, I think Bo Bartlett went 2-0. He beat Rooks, kind of a close match. Where Rooks, did you watch this match? Did you watch Penn State? So late second period, Rooks just airmails a shot with like 3 seconds left and gives up a go behind that ultimately basically loses them the match. Where just like no setup, just dives at the legs and Bo hits like an easy go behind at the end. Mm-hmm. And obviously gets the ride out because he basically got his time expired. And what could have been, he would have been in position to make it interesting because Rooks got a takedown in the third, but then, you know, at that point, that was the difference. And the story with Michigan, as they wrestled against Pitt, was Cole Matthews taking out Stevan Micic.
This should have been the leader of our show.
Yeah.
This is highly concerning.
It's concerning. I watched the match after it happened, and then JD and I watched it this morning, and a couple of things. One, the scrambling of Matthews gave him some issues. Two, the riding and just the very folk style specific problems that Matthews is a folk styler through and through.
Super folk styler. Yes.
Very folk styly. So it's a tough match. He looked big and strong compared to Stevan.
And Cole Matthews, I mean, you remember he gave Ironman that really tough match at Nationals last year. I don't mm-hmm. remember that.
He does.
So he's hard to wrestle. He's not a pushover.
He's hard to wrestle, and there was and even still, Stevan was in it until he got turned for four in a move. I don't know how you would describe it, JD, but he's like, he was kind of going for a cradle, but then he ended up under
his
head
in front and across.
Yeah, front and across. Just kind of like bull rushed him over.
Suck back a little bit.
Sort of, but not really.
I actually watched this on, because Peyton Mako does something really similar. I watched this on Twitter. Because he was here and he essentially goes like this, correct?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And dumps him to his back.
Yes.
Yeah.
Sir.
So that's, I guess, maybe not exactly a suck back, but I feel like it's more of a sucking back motion than a bull rushing motion.
Okay. Well, I will defer to you on moves.
Yeah, I mean, can we bring that one up? Because, yeah, Peyton tries doing that a lot. And I've done that before. I feel like I can never, ever hold the guys on their back once I do that.
Yeah, the way he landed with his arm right behind the head, it was like, he kind of should have pinned him. Or he very well could have. Let's see if if Pitt tweeted it or IG'd it or anything like that.
Yeah. What I was thinking about this match is that, you know, the Klebov, I think, you know, we kind of think highly of Klebov. He had high school success, but he hasn't really been good at the college level. And then, you know, he has this close match with Micić, and we kind of like, okay. And we said, first match back, and kind of, I don't know, dismissed it. Ish for Micić, but now this is two matches and two, I would say, kind of unexpected results.
Yeah, well, he'll have Ohio State, I think, this week, which is definitely DeMilio. Notable. DeMilio, so that'll be a different sort of test. I think he should be fine in that one. And then Nick Lee the week after that, which is obviously, I mean, that's the national champion.
Yeah.
So I'm excited to see. I've got Tyler, I just sent you the clip of him turning it so we can watch it and you guys can
If I remember right, I think somehow Micić's arm gets back through and to a place where it shouldn't have been, and that was what held him on his back. Yeah, right there. See, his back arm. Can we rewind a second here?
Yeah.
So his left arm pops through. And then that's why the left arm is then stuck, right? Yeah, right there.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying?
Yep. So he couldn't punch through.
So usually when, say, a Peyton does that, he goes for it. The arm doesn't end up through here, you know. It ends up that way, and then the guy is able to bridge off their back. Maybe you can hold them for a quick two, but usually you can't hold them. But because his arm was able to get through, it actually held himself on his back.
Yeah. So that was definitely an exciting moment. For the weekend, we also saw.
Wait, hold on. I got a tough question.
There's history here. History here. We made it 43 minutes, so it's 8:43, so almost a half hour, and we didn't say the name Nick Soriano. How have we done this? He wrestled.
I love that he wrestled a bonus match too. That makes me so happy.
Yeah,
in there scrapping.
Get that time. All right, now go.
I was on this train. We said we got this top four at 141. It's an invincible top four. They're so freaking good. Do we need to retract our statement now, or do we need to wait longer about Stevan Micić?
You may do whatever you like. I am not willing to give up. Now, you can't say it's an impregnable top four when the guy lost to Cole Matthews. So, obviously, it can be pregnated. However... wow, Spey hammered Stevan. What the heck? Nine.
What did he do?
He put him down at nine behind Dresden Simon, the trickster. What message are we giving the children if you put Stevan Micić behind Dresden Simon, who likes to trick officials? He tricks people.
Trick officials?
I mean, honestly, he's making Micić work his way up now.
Yeah.
Reel at four. Yeah, it feels about right.
Yeah, if it feels right, it just doesn't look right.
Does not look right.
I mean, it's Fallon's first time at 41.
Yeah.
And hasn't wrestled folk style in 3 years.
Yeah.
I would like to see him. They need to send him to the Last Chance Open. They need to send him to.
Yeah.
And like, or even that FNM Open that was last week, that was actually kind of tough. Yeah, that might have been a good place to go get a couple matches too. So I'm wondering if they hit the bonus. You know what? He needs to get with Bono, because Bono and the Badgers got every open in the United States on their schedule. So they need to send him to some of those.
They don't actually go. He moved D'Agostino all the way to number 7, and then Barnett all the way down to 15. But they got three non-ranked guys who are – so obviously D'Agostino, Hildebrandt, and Ayala in the mix at 125.
Yeah, so new blood at this stage in the season makes it pretty exciting.
Okay, you got to ask Spey, why is Hildebrandt all the way down at 9? He took 4th place in NCAAs last year, and he's not lost a match this year. It feels like 9's a little
low. Vito and Glory weren't in the bracket.
Okay, so moving on to six.
He lost to McKee for third at NCAAs.
So he gets dinged because McKee loses to other people?
Well, he gets dinged.
It's his fault. McKee's all over the place.
He doesn't have any matches. So last time we saw him wrestle, basically he lost to Pat McKee. So why would we assume he is anything different because he beat Spence and Jacob?
He beat Brody Teske and Sam Latona too at NCAAs last year.
Oh hell no!
He's ahead of the people that he beat at NCAAs, and he's behind the guy he lost to.
He is not responsible for their losses.
No, he is responsible for his resume of the people he has lost to.
He placed higher than a bunch of these dudes at NCAAs. I mean, Mastro Giovanni, come on.
Mastro beat McKee this
year.
You
just want to – you. No, I don't.
But that's what I'm saying. I'm saying Hildebrand's been not in the streets. Responsible for McKee's losses.
And they're not responsible that Drew Hildebrand didn't wrestle for a semester.
Yeah, wrestle.
Oh, my gosh. He took fourth NCAAs and he's undefeated. He just kind of leaves.
So
he
should just undefeated because he hasn't wrestled.
Kemmerer didn't wrestle for 17 months and he had him at number two still.
Compare the resumes of Michael Kemmerer and Drew Hildebrand. They are not similar. What is that mug? That is such a pretentious mug.
That's a nice mug. My mom got me.
You one percenter. Look at this.
Footprint.
Oh, my gosh.
Good dog. Listen, I'm defending Drew Hildebrand right now. Seeing him at nine feels ridiculous.
It's ridiculous?
He is not responsible for his opponent's future losses. You guys are trying to hold him liable because his opponent is wild crap.
He's not in court, Ben.
You guys are holding him responsible. You're moving his ranking because the people that he wrestled are super volatile.
Which means he's probably super volatile if he loses to them. Would it not give that indication as
well? No, it just means his opponents can go up here or down here.
As clearly he can.
Oh, man.
Wow. Penn State, Ben.
All right. Whatever you say, Penn State haters.
Okay, so where would you rank someone that has a win over WrestleStats 219 and 68?
Well, I'm saying he was fourth place at the NCAA tournament. He hasn't wrestled. If you want to get down to it, Nick Soriano hasn't had a college match in for God knows how long, and he's number one, in my opinion, he should be. He should be. And Drew Hildebrand, I would put Drew Hildebrand at number five right now. I think it's the thing that makes the most sense.
All right, well.
Drew Hildebrand cannot be held liable because Patrick McKee and other people are highly liable.
We need to get Spey on here. I want you to yell at him.
If Hildebrand takes some L's, if he takes some L's, go ahead and move him down. But if he keeps winning, then, show him some respect.
Call into who's number one on the show.
Yeah, calling who's number one on the show. No, I just want to yell him on.
Yeah, this is Ben from Wisconsin, and I'm really pretty much ranking Drew Hildebrand.
I love Drew.
You know what? I never listen to talk radio, but I think somehow my Bluetooth, my phone got clicked off in my truck the other day, and it was on a AM talk radio station.
Uh-huh.
And like, I don't know, when you were a kid and you went places with your dad, did he listen to talk radio for you guys?
Of course.
Duh. And they have the sports shows, and then the people call in, and then they give their opinions. Baby. And like, when you're a kid, you're like, oh, these adults are smart. They're calling in and giving their opinions. And now I'm driving around like, why on God's green earth are they letting random ass people call in and give their opinions about the Green Bay Packers? This is the most absurd thing ever. I don't want to listen to random Joe Schmo who's sitting in his mom's basement talking about the Packers.
Dude, I used to call in. I got on ESPN radio multiple times.
No, you didn't. Like,
I did. But before I worked at Flow or anything, I listened to ESPN radio all the time. I forget what the show was called, but I got on several times.
With that being said, you can call into this show at 515-509-5071. Actually, I'm having issues with that right now. I need to talk to Sion. I'm like locked out of it.
Call toll free.
Call in because I'm getting it figured out. I blame Sion.
Yeah, we haven't had very many call-ins.
Well, like I said, I've been locked out for like a week.
He's been locked out. Okay. He doesn't have unlimited.
I don't know. I think Sion didn't pay the Verizon bills, so I got to figure it out.
That seems more than likely. Oh, content's using the phone, they got to pay for it. Matt Stenzel had a little sub-tweet shot across the bow here. I don't know if – yeah, we can pull it in here. Matt Stenzel. This is after Drew made his debut. Loyalty is a missing trait in a lot of people.
This could be about anything.
This could be about anything, but it seems like it's probably about
the fact since that it was 6 minutes after Drew Hildebrandt's debut.
So it's not all love from the Chips losing their best guy. Retweeted by Jason Borelli, which is notable. Okay. Next topic. Where the heck are we going to go? There's so many options.
Yeah,
I have a thought. So the NCAA wrestling tournament is how we determine who the best wrestlers and who the best teams are. But there's a weird phenomenon where all the best teams are not doing tournaments. And some by choice, some not by choice, but team like Iowa did not go to a tournament, will not go to a tournament this year. They
were planned to, but
supposed to go to Midlands, but then they decided not to Matt Mann.
And they sent backups to scuffle but not starters.
Right.
Notable.
Oklahoma State, no tournaments, really. You had with Penn State, no tournaments. Arizona State.
We're not counting. So the collegiate duels, the three matches, we're not counting that as a tournament.
Well, I'm saying an individual bracketed tournament akin to
where you make your way. Collegiate duels is notable, though, because it is multiple days.
It is multiple days. Yeah. So you at least multiple simulate matches, the multiple weigh-ins and all that. But it just begs, you know, our people, our coaches and teams, after last year being like, we don't need any tournaments. We just need to just make it to March. We don't need to wrestle at this tournament or that tournament. CKLV was huge, but very legitimately, the second toughest tournament of the year might have been the Matt Men, which was like formed in less than a week.
Scuffle was tougher.
Man. Scuffle was tougher, yeah, for sure. But the fact that so few teams think that they're, or the elite teams are like, we probably don't need this. I guess my question for Ben, is it just something that happened because that's just how the season's working? Or do you think coaches are like, I don't know how necessary these are?
I've never heard a college coach, a high-level one, and maybe I should just go start asking questions. I never heard of any of them talk like super in-depth about this topic, which I think would be really interesting because, yeah, I do think you need matches. I think you need to compete against other guys who are really high-level and figure out where your weaknesses are and figure out where you get better. And I always thought more competition made me better because I was able to pinpoint those weaknesses. And I felt the same way in my teammates. And I feel the same way in the guys I coach, whether it was at the collegiate level or now. You know, obviously I think over the course of a 5-year career, maybe more towards the end of your career, you could have guys taking a little more time off for themselves. But then to counteract that point, you know, one of the big themes that I actually kind of don't like, and it would kind of be the opposite of this, is a lot of these college teams are keeping guys all summer and having kind of regimented training programs all summer. And it feels like if you don't want your guys to be beat up and you want your guys to have longevity, you know, having them in a regimented training program over the course of the entire summer doesn't seem like a good idea. So I would actually love to hear you know, one of these high-level guys' philosophy on what their whole season looks like or their whole year.
And you know what?
And why?
Interesting thing is I kind of just thought of is these coaches are a lot of them, most of them, I think is sort of control freaks. They like to be in control. A dual meet, you're in ultimate control. You could send, not send. You can bump. You drop a guy in a tournament, and then it's just like they're kind of in the wild, and sort of what happens happens unless you just pull them out. You don't get to choose the opponent or if you send out a different guy. So I think that element of control that you get in a duel could be something. Or it could be this season is just this season, and next year there will be more normalcy and the teams will go to tournaments. But I do think it's notable.
Yeah, I mean, it's a little bit – and we think, I guess, kind of over a longer period of time Iowa and Oklahoma State specifically, who are usually two of the top two teams, I mean, they haven't been super active in the offseason either. You know, so the freestyle season has become, I would say, more of a thing than 10 years ago. Mm-hmm. But they haven't been super active at sending their guys to, say, UWW juniors or those type of things. And Penn State would be, I'd say, somewhere in the middle. Some years they have, some years they haven't. Yeah, I guess I would really love to hear. You know, it'd be fascinating, which will never ever happen, is like a round table of a bunch of college coaches talking about their strategies.
Yeah, that would be awesome.
They probably, I think they, a lot of them probably overvalue their, like, they think their strategy has more of an impact than it actually does, so they'll never talk about it, is what I would think. Kind of like you raged one time on the peaking thing.
What I rage about? What I
Just
say?
like, how everyone thinks they have this secret formula for peaking, but
Yeah.
in actuality, it's relatively simple. Is like, do your volume training earlier in the season, and as you wind down towards the end of the season, bring the volume down so you have less injuries and guys are feeling fresher. I mean, it's really that, you know, and obviously from a technique standpoint, same thing. Like, if we're 2 weeks from the Nationals, you don't want to be throwing a bunch of new technique at the guy. That's dumb, you know? So throw it at them in November when they have 5 months till the NCAA tournament. And then as we're honing in towards March, we're not throwing very many new things at them. Maybe one thing or two things.
March is when you learn the secret moves, Ben, and then you unleash them upon your opponents.
Yeah, but no, to your point, it's not like a secret complex recipe. It's relatively simple, but everyone thinks they have this super secret recipe of what they're doing. It's like, yeah, maybe you do, maybe you don't. I think that the likelihood is probably you don't, and but you think you do.
True. Agreed.
Yeah.
Other notable results, of which there were thousands. Lehigh takes out Cornell 18-15. The big matches
Man.
there were at 74 and
Woo.
84 back to back. Foca
Big letdown.
goes down to Jake Logan 6-3, and then AJ Burkhart takes out Johnny Lowe, who's been pretty good this year.
But what do you think? Foca's getting into the McKee category for me, where he's like a little bit all over the place.
That could
I
be
mean,
at this point in the season, that's a little bit of an indulgence by you, Ben. I don't know that he's reached the McKee level, right? I don't think he's
well,
there.
I okay, I'm saying McKee level via volatility. I mean, we watched him have that. He had to get off bottom to beat the freaking national champion. Remember, he got ridden out, and I flipped out about it. And then he goes to overtime with Mekhi Lewis. And then he loses to Jake Logan. And no offense to Jake Logan, but he's not in the ballpark of Starocki and Lewis.
Right. I thought Foca looked, man, he just wasn't. Did you watch the match? He was not attacking. You know, it was
But
very,
that's.
he was trying to counter it, but it was too much, right? You got to shoot some.
That's a little bit what he does,
I
is
know, but I
right?
don't
He's.
think that's sustainable. You have to have
Yeah,
offense.
it's not. Correct. Yeah. So you have to have some offense. And, you know, I think when we watched him, was it, I always get, it was 2 years ago, right? Yeah. Because last year, Cornell didn't wrestle at all. So 2 years ago, he was in his red shirt, gray shirt season. And obviously, he wasn't as good because he was younger. He had some losses, but I felt like he was pretty aggressive. And now, yeah, I feel like that has backed off a little bit. And yes, yeah, so I do think he needs to generate more of his own offense, and he's a little bit too reliant on scrambles. When I think about like the Starocki matches, like maybe is he cutting too much
I was going to
weight?
ask that. What is the cut like for him? This is a guy who wrestled
Yeah.
up at 86 in freestyle throughout. That's where he actually beat Max Dean and started
Yep.
all these, you know, conspiracy theories about why Max was transferring out. It's like, oh, maybe he can't beat Foca, which I think that's
That's
outrageous.
crazy to think about right now, right? That Chris Foca at 174 beat Max Dean at 197.
Yes.
It's
Yes.
wild.
In freestyle. So I'm not I think it could be cut related because I think when you see that kind of a difference in performance, you look for something like that, an outside variable, because we know
Yes.
Foca can really wrestle.
Yes.
And you know, against someone like, dude, these Lehigh guys are all gonna know, they're all pretty, they know how to scramble in general. Like
They're engineers. They engineer that
they're
stuff.
engineers. Exactly. So they know what they're doing in a lot of these positions. Pat
Yeah.
Santoro's ability to get the team up with guys that a lot of people haven't, you know, Jake Logan's not a household name, but he just
Not
beat.
Terry. Jake Logan's actually, he's not that bad. I mean, he's not
No.
great, but he's also not that bad.
No, he's not bad. Not at all.
Yeah. And so and he's hard to beat. So, I mean, like, of all his losses this year, 3-2, 4-1. He did get killed by Starocki, but then 3-2 to Brand, 6-4 to Mako. You know, so he's close with the better guys. I mean, Straki kind of put it on him, but besides that, tough. He's been really close.
He is tough. Yeah. So that was a big win. And then AJ Burkhart takes out Jonathan Lowe, and that's kind of that's really the match. Those were the two most notable matches. Wood beating Fernandez 5-2 is not a surprise. Yanni Tech, no. Steven Storm, which is
not a surprise.
That's a great name, though. Steve Storm, Private Eye, not bad.
I'm laughing. I don't want to tell you what my thought was.
Okay.
JD had the same thought.
What is?
I really don't know. Actually,
I don't know. I love how Ben just knows. All right. Well, you can tell us that after.
I know right what's in his head.
Okay. Got it.
Thinking about Steven Seagal. Nothing else.
What a beast.
Steven Seagal. That's a great martial artist right there.
Exactly.
One of the best. He would probably tap you, Ben, if we're being honest. Let's just be straight up about it. Have we talked about? We mentioned Purdue beat Nebraska 18-15.
We mentioned.
So no.
But Purdue had none of their starters in. And Purdue was missing a whole bunch of dudes too.
Purdue was missing Kendall Coleman. I think that's the only starter I'm noticing out. And then Nebraska was missing Shadred and Peyton Robb.
Hold on. Sorry. Give me 2 more seconds. I will get to
the box score is in the thing. In the doc.
Oh too. Man, I'm over here Googling and searching, and I'm almost there. I'm on Purdue's. Wait, so you're telling me these dudes I never heard of are the actual starters? Like Hayden Lowry, he's the actual starter for Purdue?
At 65, I think so.
And Trey Cruz at 49?
Sonlin, normally.
Oh, Emil Sonlin.
Yeah, I thought so. I don't know this dude. What about Trey Cruz? Is he actually their starter at 49?
Yeah, I think so.
Dang.
Cruise control. They were calling him Cruzy on the broadcast. I don't know if that's right. It might be, though.
There's no way that's right.
Okay. It's impossible. So, yeah, they were not – I mean, obviously missing Chad Redd hurts and missing Peyton Robb, but, you know, they were missing Kendall Coleman at the same breath. So,
yeah.
That's kind of crazy thinking about Tony Erzlin. He was a longtime assistant at Nebraska, going to Purdue. Probably when he left, he probably had to think, I'm a few years away. It's going to be a while before we can compete with the Nebraskas. And that's it.
Erzlin's actually kind of been there for a minute, though.
Yeah, it's probably been five, 6 years now. It's crazy how time.
Nebraska looked kind of flat.
They did not look their best.
You didn't mention Lion over Venz. Another one. We need an all-volatility team. That's what we need.
Venz, highly combustible. Is that
Venz and McKee are the captains of the highly volatile team?
I wonder if we can top that. Who's more volatile? Just the highs. Eric Barnett, maybe honorable mention volatility.
Yeah, I don't think he can beat McKee to be on the team.
Yeah, they're gonna have to do a wrestle off for it.
Who else could be on the team? That's a fun team to make.
We'll have to do it. I don't want people to have to listen to us think because we don't know.
Might be fun to listen to.
Ed Scott, you know, Quincy Monday got the opening takedown against Ed Scott, I believe. And then Scott, it was really him late. He looked really good.
Scott's on a roll.
And what a season he's had. It's sort of
season.
He lost to his teammate, AJ Kovats, but then he beat Quincy Monday. He beat Caleb Young. Ed Scott.
Pinned him.
Beard
Jake Hughes.
Oh, yeah. Beat Jared Jake Hughes. Yeah. So Scott is quickly climbing the rungs at 157. And got to remember, it's only his second year, right? He was a true freshman last year. Really, he got to wrestle the season. He was not – I don't think he got to qualify for NCAAs because of the stupid qualification thing that sent – never mind.
He lost his ACCs. He lost to Andonian and Feinsilver, who are –
good.
Both pretty damn good dudes.
Yes. So
this would beat Feinsilver last year in the duel right before.
And he had he had at least one crazy match with Andonian last year, if I'm remembering correctly. Like it was.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. I think every match he had with Andonian was crazy.
Yeah.
It's an Andonian match.
And it's an Ed Scott match. They're both kind of loco.
They're both wild.
Uh-huh. Oh, yeah. Lucas Davison beat Trent Hilger. That was super notable. Davison looked good.
He just rode him out the third period. Yeah, put a boot in it, and Hilger didn't really. Does Hilger look smaller to you? Is it the man bun? Pretty lean.
I thought he looked. I think like he's not quite as. He might have done the tone thing. Maybe he's the exact same size.
Let's see. What's the opposite of tone? I don't want to be offensive here. What's the opposite of tone?
That's big tone.
He was never that.
Big tone.
He was never big Trent. He was always kind of lean Trent. You know, he was never overweight. So I don't know exactly what his weight is. He does look lean, but I feel like he's kind of always been lean.
Davison's been pretty scrappy, interesting guy at heavyweight too.
Yeah, like they had some good scrambles, and then he just put a ride on in the third period, and Hilger couldn't find his way out of it and gave up the ride time point, and I think actually almost some near fall at the end maybe for the loss.
Yes. Now, some non-college wrestling news. Jaden Cox to Ann Arbor, Cliff Keen Wrestling Club. A pretty predictable move when – you consider the relationship that he and KJ have. It makes a lot. I think it makes sense outside of KJ too. Like it makes sense because of that. But
he'll be partners with Ringer.
I mean, who is he training? Who was Jaden training with other than Muhammad McBride at the OTC? He needs partners. Now he's going to go to Cliff Keen.
Wait, I thought he was at NJRTC.
Well, I think he sort of was, but I don't think he wasn't. I don't think he was living in New Jersey. Listen,
I saw pictures of him on the beach.
The Jersey Shore Beach?
There's so many beaches.
Yeah, hanging out with Nate Jackson.
Okay. I don't know that he ever moved there. He might have trained there. I don't know if he ever moved there. I don't know where he's paying taxes. But Coach Bormat said he's going to Michigan full time. And you think about the partners there, I think it makes sense. You're gonna have Brookie, you're gonna have Amin, Mason Paris, because I think Jaden can probably go up and train with those big guys. Makes a lot of sense there. I think it's a smart move by Jaden, and a pretty predictable one too.
Cliff Kingdom just keeps getting better and better.
Yeah, actually, when it was announced, I was like, I kind of thought like, wait, didn't we already know this? And then I had to think like, no, it hasn't been announced. But I didn't even think I was told this. I think we had just talked about it happening, and that had made it happen in my mind.
Yes, you had, yeah. Okay. So why don't we get to some questions? We haven't been given a lot of time for questions.
Well, hey, no, I got something for you guys.
Hit me.
You guys aren't mentioning the all-powerful Cheesehead, baby.
Well, okay, you tell me. I did not follow.
Jesse Rogan went down.
You don't
heard about that.
Well, two big times. The Wisconsin boys, Jesse Rogan went down and Gavin Nelson went down. So two Cadet World team members. So the Cheesehead is the toughest tournament in Wisconsin, put together by Scott Cleaver. Brings in a lot of teams from out of state. And yeah, so we had Jezza Rogue went down to Nicolas Rivera. Rivera's been really good in the past. He won Fargo multiple years ago, but his offseason was, you know, he didn't place at USA Folk Style. He didn't place at Fargo. He actually lost to Jagger Eich in the state finals last year. So kind of like super unpredictable. No one saw this coming. But it was kind of dominant. It was four takedowns to one or three takedowns to one, something like this. So I don't know where you guys are going to move Jezza Rogan in the rankings. I don't know if you can't put Nicolas in the rankings because of all the losses he's had in the last year.
Well, you got to rank him if he beat the number one guy.
Kind of got to rank if he beat the number one guy. But then also, I mean, this is where you look. Because I actually looked through his wrestle stats. I'm like, or his wrestle stat, his tracks. I'm like, damn, like. How did I not see this coming, you know? And then I'm like, well, no, I remembered, right? He lost all these matches. Like, no one really saw this coming. So that would be one. And then the other one was Coy Hopke, who is, I don't know where you guys have him at. He's good. He's young.
Is he one of your guys?
He's not. He's from all the way up north there, hey, in the middle of nowhere. I don't know if he goes to Pinnacle or I don't know where he goes.
Up north there, hey, what's that? Is that
he's from a town called Amory. They're really good at wrestling. I think they might be number one in Division Two, but they're very, very, very far up north. I couldn't even tell you where on the map. I just know it's way up north there, hey.
What is it? Why do you say hey at the end?
That's what all the Wisconsin people say. It's to make
up by the Kingdom border,
fun of them.
Oh,
yes.
But it sounds like he's it's saying, like that, hey.
That, hey, hey. They said,
oh.
It's like that hey. Northern Wisconsin, Minnesota, Fargo.
Oh, you think he's near Duluth? Maybe yes. On the border there, border town. Could be.
Yes. Yes.
Okay.
Exactly. So he was 9 and Gavin Nelson was 3.
Wow. Okay.
Yeah. So
those are some couple
good matches there.
David Bray's going to have some decisions to make.
Yes,
we'll find out tomorrow. Yeah.
What decisions one of the unfortunate things that I get annoyed about with it's not your guys' ranker's fault, and it's not it's Wisconsin's fault. Wisconsin guys don't get to travel barely at all. So we don't, our kids don't see a lot of national competition within the season. We maybe go to the Dvorak or the Minnesota Christmas tournament, but it's not like they're going to the Powerade or Beast of the East or Ironman or any of those things because the travel regulations are relatively strict.
Got it. Yeah.
Unfortunately.
It's very unfortunate. Oh, another. Yes. Oh, what was another thing I was going to say? I had a thing.
You had a thing.
It left my brain completely.
Wait, someone else. There was a, you know, Sinclair, one of our guys, told me that, who was it? He said Singleton beat Rowley at the Doc B. I don't know if there's any other good results.
I watched that match. Yeah, he could. Rowley struggled getting off the bottom.
Yeah.
Good. Singleton's, he's the man. The kid's really tough.
Matty Ice.
Oh, I know what I was going to say. Austin Gomez. Speaking of Wisconsin things, he beat Yaya Thomas. We did not mention that.
Yeah, we didn't mention that.
Reattack. And then Yaya, he beat Blockus pretty good. So he rebounded pretty well. But Gomez having a good year, in my opinion. He did lose to Heil at the Matman. But other than that, he's notched some good dubs.
He's clearly an All-American threat. But where do you realistically like see him ending?
Honestly, I mean, look at this weight. Yaya's literally fifth. Yeah, you tell me Austin Gomez can't beat Ridge Lovett? I think he can go with someone like Ridge.
Ooh.
Can he get off the bottom? I don't know about that.
Yeah,
Jaden Abbas, he could go with him. Kyle Parko, for sure. Bryce Andonian, he is, in my opinion, he is with all of
those
guys.
I need Gomez versus Andonian.
Gomez versus Andonian is bananas. That should happen. But don't you agree? I mean, I know he lost to Josh Heil, but here's the people ranked ahead of him. One, he lost to
Heil. There's a lot of parity there.
Tons.
Yes.
If he's right, going into
it's
NCAA's,
like a Weird Al album.
Wait, what?
Parodies.
Oh.
I don't think that's the same word.
I love it.
Could be wrong.
I love it. That's very funny, JD. Weird Al. Okay. Let's go to questions from Rich Perez Negron. Rich, shout out.
Our man.
He was our intern.
Come back in the office sometime, Rich.
Yeah, come hang, Rich. I think he lives in Austin. His brother is Tony. For you Penn State fans.
So as you say, that's funny.
We're haters. His brother wrestles for Penn State. And we love Rich.
You guys are Penn State haters.
And his question was, you guys have talked about this being the best Rutgers team Rutgers has fielded. With the way recruiting's been, how much better the program's become, is it realistic to think Jersey's Big Ten team could compete for a team trophy in the not-so-distant future? So the jump that Rutgers has to make is tough. There's teams that can kind of hang out in that sort of zone where you have 2 to 3 to 4 All-Americans, and then you have a really salty dual team. Getting up into that top four echelon is a rung that looks a little closer than it can be sometimes. Do you know what I'm saying? Like, it's like, man, we just get another guy, but that's like often the step that's the hardest to get. But they recruit well, they develop well. And I think they have one of the main pitches at Rutgers that I don't know, I mean, I'm sure it's a part of it, but getting to wrestle in that kind of an environment is like, it's certainly one of the top five places to wrestle in college wrestling, I would say, the RAC.
Jersey Mike's Arena?
Yeah.
In Jersey Mike's. I mean, that place is nuts, and they show out.
Yeah.
That's a thing. You get to be in the Big Ten. Not so distant future. So in the next 10 years, can Rutgers get a trophy? I'd say yes, no question.
Man, that's a long time. Next 10 years, jeez Louise.
10 years is nothing, man. Just think.
That's
seemed like
it's a long time.
Well,
but I don't think they're that close. Because yes, making that next jump is hard, and I feel like the current coaching staff has actually been there for quite a long time now, and they've obviously brought them. You know, when they started, they were way below where they are right now. They've brought them up to a good level, but they haven't really shown that they're going to take that next step up. They haven't had any years where they've been like, I mean, when I think about what a Missouri's done or what an NC State, like they'll have those duels where they beat the number one or two team in the country. And then maybe they'll drop back down because they don't have the depth, but they will have those wins. And Rutgers, I don't think has had one of those type of wins yet. Have they?
No, not quite yet.
So I think they got a little ways to go.
Then your hair looks nuts, bro.
What happened to my hair?
You look like the aliens guy.
I don't watch movies, so I don't know that reference.
This guy, he's not a movie. He's from the TV show. I don't know if Tyler.
I don't know the TV show either.
Well, I don't know what even the TV show is, but it's the famous meme of the guy just saying aliens with crazy hair. You've seen it.
Throw it out.
I don't know what you're talking about.
We sent it to Tyler. Tyler, it was in the chat. It's okay.
I'm looking through your rankings here.
Are you?
Yeah, I'm seeing what's
happening. This guy, that's you, Ben.
Hold on, I'm clicking over. Oh, that guy. I know that guy.
Yeah, see? I knew you knew. Okay.
That's funny. That's really funny.
How many clubs has Jaden competed for since college, excluding Titan Mercury? So he wrestled. He trained at Missouri, trained at the OTC, Ohio RTC, NJRTC. And now,
a lot.
That's the fifth.
Yeah.
So yeah, he's made his rounds. I would like to think that this will be a pretty. This should be a pretty lasting stay. You would think. Seems to be set up to work out for him. Okay. From Sways happens. Grandview Wrestling goes to Loper Wrestling this week. Portillo versus Portillo, possible at 125. Longest dual streak on the line with NCAA dual champs. This is for JD, basically. JD.
Go Lopers, baby, always.
All right, we got Lopers. Got.
They fell in the national duels semis to St. Cloud, who set the NCAA record for straight duels, and then lost it a little later that day, but... Go Lopers always.
Next question from Jason always. Hildreth, who I think is in the chat. Have you ever seen so many weights across the board for an upcoming NCAAs where maybe there's a few favorites for the top three to four, but there's literally 15 guys who could place fifth through eighth? Deepest NCAAs ever? Well, Jason, I think it is definitely the deepest
ever.
Probably ever because
until next year and the year after when guys are still coming back as well.
Yes. So, I think it probably is the deepest. Maybe next year it'll be deep.
Are you guys sure? Because this year also has all the Olympic red shirts too, who like somehow deferred their eligibility and they're in their 19th year of college.
Yes, yes. I think this level.
A lot of those guys are going to have eligibility after this year, like Dayton and Vita.
Well, no, Yanni. Like a Micic. So, obviously, a Micic, Amin, like there's a.
Yeah.
Few of those guys, Suriano, for example, those three will all be done after this year, and they used Olympic red shirts.
Yes. Yes, very true. Very deep. Very deep. If Hildebrandt and Berge are at their best, how does this team stack up against the great Penn State teams of the past? Can they score 150 points at NCAAs? It seems they have a chance to qualify all 10. They could have 8 AAs, and they have 4 big hitters, 5 if you count Kirk.
I say no.
I think it'll be tough. I don't know. I don't think so. I don't think this team – because one thing you have to consider also with Penn State is the field. The field is so tough. So that on its own has a limiting factor about it. That's going to make it tougher. And they don't bonus like those previous teams, which matters. But – It could still be a really strong performance in one of their better teams, but man, that team that went.
But when you say one of their better teams, Christian, man, that's like that Cale's had, what, 11 years now? So but even if you put him at number four, that's not in the top third.
True.
And I don't think they're going to be at number four.
Yeah, I don't know. I think this team could be better than all the first four Cale teams that he had that won that first set of four. Maybe.
Interesting.
Maybe. But, like, you think about that team that went that went Zane, Nolf, Chenzo, Mark Hall, Bo Nickel.
Yeah.
Who's their 97? Someone good, probably.
Someone good.
Someone good. So they've – I don't think they're stepping into that realm yet.
Yeah, I don't think so.
But the interesting thing is they have so many of these guys back next year. So how much better can they get now?
It's RBY.
Listen, I know RBY.
RBY ain't coming back.
He doesn't think he's coming back. Brady Berge didn't think he was coming
put
back.
Put it right here. Put it down. Put it in stone. I think Roman wrestles next year.
Really?
Absolutely. Absolutely. I think he will.
I mean, I guess my question would be like, what does he think he's going to do next year? Because he hasn't really said that. He's like, well, I'm done with college wrestling because of this, right? I'm going to coach or I'm going to do MMA or whatever. He hasn't said that.
He wants to fight. I think he wants to do a little freestyle and then fight. But a
little freestyle and then you fight him.
Yeah, then you fight these people. I think he's back. Cale's going to talk him into it. He may – yeah, I don't know. But I sort of think he'll be back.
Okay.
Will Nicky Pushups ever step foot in a Michigan classroom? Of course he will. He's a scholar, student athlete.
He could be all online.
Could be all online. So actually, good point, JD. He could be just
online. He will not go to a classroom.
He will virtually step into the metaverse, as it were. What is the best open in the country? This is easy. The Last Chance Open in Iowa State.
Stop.
That is the best. That is the best. That's genius. Remember that? That was like one of our most fun shows ever. Because
that was so ridiculous.
Because we're talking about it. We're like, dude, he's just totally rigging it. And then Coach Dresser comes on. He's like, guys, yeah, I rigged it. It's a rule. You can do it. It's really smart. And then we're like, my gosh, this man's a genius.
Oh, so funny.
That was perfect. From Big Pants. Big Pants has stepped in. He says, do you think Richie Figgs can match Ayala's early season success so far? I think he could.
Well,
I think we haven't got... Yeah, we know he's redshirting. Could. Can. Is it possible? Yes, it is absolutely.
Yes, I think it's possible.
Figueroa, he was with the team at the Arizona State-Michigan duel that wasn't. And yeah. He looks solid. I think the guy that could definitely use a year.
He was clearly on Alice level last year.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
High school, so.
Absolutely. Thoughts on Braxton Amos' early season losses? I already talked about it. Moving on. He's coming back. He's going to have a
crush him.
He's going to qualify, and then who knows what happens. Get to the dance. That's what I say. We already talked about Micić. That was a good question, though. Is it rust? I think it's a combo, folk-style-y positions that he hasn't felt in a long time. And
he's got some issues from bottom.
He's got to figure those out. But I'm not ready to sell my Micić stock. Gable's best college self or Snyder's best college self? Line set at -2.5 Gable. Who are you taking?
I'm taking Gable. He's got 30 pounds and he's the Olympic champion. I'm taking Gable.
Yeah. I think there's no – I don't think there's any heavyweight I could pick to beat Gable, including the great Kyle Snyder.
What would the line have to be?
Kyle, it's hard to see past the victory because essentially I think Kyle does a lot of the things that Gable does well the same, but he's smaller.
He's smaller.
Significantly. So how is he going to execute on that stuff? And I see that being a tough one. I think someone that would be the most interesting against Gable would be like a Stephen Neal, someone who's gigantic and can match athleticism. And obviously Stephen was a world champion. That would be one that I would be very fascinated to see. And the other one would be, And I'm picking Gable, but I'm just saying the other one that I would be interested to see would be a really big kind of immovable heavyweight, like a Cole Conrad or a Stephen Mako, you know, because I think they would force Gable to go underneath them. And could he do that safely? Right.
I'm
picking Gable. They're not going to shoot on him. Yes.
I want to see Dustin Fox.
Chris Taylor.
I think he makes the big guys go timber personally. Conrad's interesting. Yeah. Mako's interesting, but have we ever seen him really struggle with the size of anyone?
But who's been in this era right now, who's the really big, good heavyweight? Kuhn, yes. And he did struggle against Kuhn the first time.
In freestyle, and he was like 9. And then he teched
him. He was not 9.
He was 9 years old. Look it up. He was 9.
Oh, God.
Everyone acts like he was. No, he was 9 years old, and he lost to Adam Kuhn by tech, but it was kind of close tech. And then, okay. Then he beat him. A year later, when he turned 10, he beat him twice.
He beat him.
Yeah. Yes. So that was but even Adam was like not your typical big guy heavy. He didn't wrestle like a big guy heavy. He was like almost overly active at times and would put himself in some bad positions, but he did beat Kyle Snyder.
He gave Kyle a lot of trouble. But in the Kyle Snyder matches, Kuhn wrestled like a big guy and very disciplined, and that was kind of what Kyle had issues with.
Yes. But I've never seen anything like Gable. The thing with Gable is there's no compromise in any aspect of his game.
What do you mean by that?
What I mean is normally the really strong guys are maybe not that nimble. Or maybe the really fast guys are not that technical. But he is all the things. There's not a compensation there. He's not big and slow. He's not fast and small. He's everything. Yes. He's just everything. That's why I don't know if we'll ever see anything like it again.
Yeah. Well, it's kind of sad that we don't get to see how long it would last. I had this funny phone call yesterday. A Bucks beat writer called me because I quoted Giannis when he said this. He had a really great quote
one time
about pride and ego and humility. And, you know, I said not to pick on John Jones, but, you know, John Jones for a point in time was the greatest mixed martial artist we've ever seen.
Mm-hmm.
And often it's not what?
Still might be.
There's potentially still money. But so often it's not the skill level that takes those guys out of the game, right? It's everything else, because when you get to a certain point and you're the greatest, it's hard to maintain focus and motivation. Mm-hmm. And you can be distracted and you can think that you're entitled to certain things. And that can kind of take you out of the game, right? Which we've seen with John in a multitude of ways. And so with Gable, it would be like, well, if Gable can maintain the motivation and focus he has right now, is anyone going to beat him ever? Right. And so you see, like with a great example would be, we actually have a lot of great examples in wrestling, I think, because maybe they don't get the money or the fame that they do in certain other sports, but the JB and Dake and Taylor, I mean, these guys have been at the pinnacle for quite a few years now, and they've maintained that focus and motivation. But would Gable be able to do it? And obviously, I don't want to say he's not, because he's choosing a different path, and that's fine. But if he were to stick in wrestling, could he do it for the next decade or 12 years? Like, it would be very interesting to see.
One thing that I think is notable about where Gable's at and where his motivation is I was curious how this season would look for him when he competed. Like, how good is he going to look? Is he going to be between two worlds and just, like, he's so good that... Yeah. I think he looks as sharp as we've seen him look. I don't think maybe he could have pushed it a little bit against Oklahoma State, but man, how he looked against Cassiope, he looks as good as we've seen him look. And now obviously Kirk Fleet and Mason Paris will be different sort of challenges for him, but I think he looks great, and he's obviously putting in the work still.
I think part of that also is Gable just is like, I'm so much better than you. I'm going to dominate you. Like a mentality type thing of just like,
Yeah.
Like you get like a like he has like a swagger about him. Not that that wasn't there before, yeah. but you go, you win an Olympic medal, it only adds to it.
But I think like timing things, like his re-attacks are so insane. Yeah. Like you know he's, you can't keep that sharp just on muscle memory, right? You've he's got to continue to be doing them.
Yes.
Yeah. So man, he's awesome.
Anthony Kassar, legend continues to grow.
Yeah, yeah, actually, you guys have Anthony Kassar ranked number one due to old wins.
He still has eligibility.
Yeah, he could come. Oh my gosh.
What if he comes out Stone Cold Steve Austin style?
Yeah, beat it, Kirk. I'm here.
Listen, a big he's going to take an ass whooping if he does. Sorry, Anthony Kassar.
Yeah, it's different. Definitely different. Yeah,
it's different. It's different.
That's what you got. You got to beat the man and then go out a legend.
He is a legend.
We'll never know.
Yeah, could have been him. Okay, I got nothing else. We got plenty to talk about for tomorrow and Thursday. Shane Sparks coming on
Wait,
tomorrow.
Wait, no, we didn't talk. Hold on.
Uh-oh.
I want another week of picks. Dominating, guys. I'm going to go. I had a bad week one. I just didn't take it seriously. I wasn't focused enough. After week one, I didn't do good. I said, listen, I'm going to lock this thing down right here. And then
y'all got an extra one because I was an optimist and took the
over. I'm
going
week two to finish.
It's currently 38-28.
Almost wire to wire.
35-31. I'm down three. That can change in the
course of the week. How far is JD down? Tell me how far JD is down.
I'm 32-34.
Six games back. That's going to be tough. That's going to be tough.
I gave you all that gift with the over-under of matches.
Well, listen, JD, we let you make the lines. You can make the line whatever the hell you want.
You're literally the lines maker. You could
You're
rig
the
it.
Line maker.
Wow. You made the over-under line.
Yeah.
And I won that one. Even let me make all the lines, I'll probably win them all.
Yeah, we were close. Okay. Well, congrats to Ben. I'm going to run you down. I got plenty of time. Wait till NCAAs. It's over.
Shout out to Drake Allen. He got me one, though.
Shout out to Drake.
There you go.
Thank you guys so much for tuning in. Fun weekend of wrestling. Another fun one coming up. This is just fun times. All the duels, all the wrestling. All the wrestling discussion, very fun. We will see you tomorrow. Make sure you check out the updated rankings. They're up, number one on the site. If you see a picture of Nick Soriano, click it, and then you'll see all our updated rankings. And you'll see the rankings that Ben is even complaining about. We'll be back tomorrow. Have a great Tuesday. Thank you and goodbye.
Go Lopers.